In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. How exciting it is to be hosting Life Changes today. And life changes today, indeed. I just caught that myself. Life changes today. It's changing minute by minute. And that's part of what our show is about today with our guest, John Beal, co-founder and CEO of Make the Difference Network. Can't wait to share with you more about what that is about. But before we get into that, so life is changing, and life is changing for us here at the Life Changes team. And obviously we're growing, and more people know about us. And it's interesting how we have a certain mission, and that part of our mission is to get as many people to learn about and look at the changes that are happening and see how they can be positively affected by them if they choose to look at it that way, or how they themselves can positively affect either the changes or the world and other people and all that good stuff. And we're definitely about bringing everyone together, not isolating anybody. Some people want us to be a little bit more, how do we put it? A little bit more, you can be a little bit more spiritual. That's a word that keeps coming up. You can talk about things in a more spiritual way, or you can talk about things a little bit more, like Eastern tradition-y, or bring in more religious. I mean, it's interesting the things that people are asking us to do. And of course we're growing with our mission. It's changing and evolving, but it's still our view that we are including as many people as we can, and definitely not trying to exclude anybody. So part of this growth has of course, as more people get to know about us and more people are making comments as they think we should be this way or that way, some people are asking us to comment on things that they consider the bad things happening in the world. So, for example, well, without getting into examples just yet, they'd say, you know, this is going on and that's going on, and your radio show isn't addressing that. Well, my response has been, whether it's on Facebook or our website or blogs or what have you, my response and our team's response at Life Changes has been to say, we are of the mind that what we focus on expands. So there are a lot of people that are not aware of these quote-unquote bad things. And so there are a lot of other people that are bringing awareness to those quote-unquote bad things. And I'm not here to judge as to whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but if what we focus on expands, then bringing awareness to some of those bad things may just be bringing more of those bad things to light, or giving more energy to them and helping them expand. So since somebody already is doing that, whether that's good or bad or right or wrong, we are bringing awareness to some of the positive changes happening on in the world and shedding our light and putting our energy onto these positive changes. And so that this energy, these positive things, this group of people that is doing this, these projects out there can get more attention, and they can expand, and there could be more of them, and they can grow bigger in themselves. So that's our take. Well, that has been not enough for some people who have insisted and have written, yes, but people are dying, or organizations are getting too big and making money off of people, and people are losing money. It's just, of course, there are a myriad of things that are the cause and effect of certain actions that some people are taking. We at Life Changes are not blind to that. I am not blind to that. But in response to this, one particular person made me think of one thing. I said to this person, when did you come to realize that this was happening. All your life, I would imagine that you were either sleeping or oblivious to it, and all of a sudden you've quote-unquote woken up to the idea that someone is doing this bad thing, but that somebody had been doing it your whole life. How long did it take you to wake up to this? And was it because this was happening that you woke up to a different level of consciousness? And so on some level, higher than maybe where we are now, is there really a good or bad, and maybe their role was to help wake you up into this? And it got me to think in some of the particular things that a couple people were mentioning, say, for example, the car companies and how we're promoting cars amongst ourselves, some of us, by saying, oh, buy this car because it gets 40,000 miles to the gallon, as opposed to those cars which only get 30 or 28 or less, or that car gets 50,000. And so we are amongst ourselves, these do-gooders, promoting car companies' cars because the car companies have, some of them have said, those are bad cars, but these are good ones because they get 40 or 50 miles to the gallon. When in reality, the technology is there for cars to get 300 and 400 gallons, miles to the gallon. And even there's technology that has been developed for years that some of the car companies have kept hidden, that cars can run on water and many other things. But we are all arguing amongst each other as to which car you should be driving instead of coming together and saying, hey, we demand a car that gets 300 miles to the gallon, that technology is available. So I said to this young man who, one in particular, who was fighting for me to make changes on the radio show and on the website, et cetera, to make people aware that we should be doing this or that, I said, I am glad you are awake to this, but is it possible that there is another step of awareness or awakeness that you are not there yet, and that maybe that all of this is in divine right order? And I reflected on my father, who saw that I had interest in playing the piano. And everywhere I went and I saw a piano, I would sit and play the piano. And my father still did not buy me a piano. Instead, he bought me this little toy organ. He actually didn't even buy it for me. He bought it for my brother because he was older and that's the way things are done in some Italian families. He couldn't buy it for me, but he knew I would be the one to play it. Interesting. So I would play this piano and or this little organ in the hopes that someday it would grow up to be a piano. And so he watched me. He watched me grow up on this little organ and then play every piano that I saw in sight. He watched my desire. I watched my own desire. He noticed I did not lose interest after a year or two. I noticed I did not lose interest after a year or two. It was something that I had passion for, wanted to learn, and took every opportunity to expand my abilities. In a similar way, if we had these cars right away, 300 miles to the gallon, and if we had all of the good things that some of us want for all of us, if we had them right away, maybe we wouldn't have the opportunity to really understand why we want these things. Maybe we wouldn't have the opportunity to help each other grow into making this our way of life for the future. Maybe we would take some of these things for granted. Maybe, if I would have gotten a piano when I really, really wanted it as a little kid instead of as an older kid, maybe I would have lost interest. But instead, this passion grew. And in an ironic sort of way, my father, not buying me the piano until later on in my childhood, might have actually helped increase my interest and abilities in music than if he had bought it for me before. It's just a theory. So since we do like to look at things positively, yes, there are things happening. Yes, we don't have those cars yet and this and that and all those good things. But if we keep working on the passion that we have in wanting to make this a way of life, just maybe we can bring those things into our reality by demanding them, and soon they will be here because it's inevitable. It's where we're going. and that we, in a way, ironically, could say, like I could say about my father, help me have the passion and grow. Maybe some of these organizations that are considered by others as bad actually helped us into this new world. And that's how I choose to look at it at the moment. And there is a new world, and this leads into our guest, happening around us all the time. And the irony of it is that some of us just don't see it, and some of us aren't aware of it. And when we are, we might still not make the connection. And there's an interesting organization that's started by John Beale, who's our guest tonight. And this organization is called Make the Difference Network. Now, John Beale is a very interesting man. Having been a consultant, having worked in many fields, he brings to Make the Difference Network a lot of experience. As a matter of fact, he's in a movie that's coming out really soon called The Riches, and we may have an opportunity to talk to him about that. Make the Difference Network is a cause-oriented social network that connects nonprofit organizations who have specific wishes, quote-unquote, they need funded, with potential donors who want to make direct donations in support of those specific wishes. Isn't that cool? They help ordinary citizens become grassroots philanthropists while providing nonprofits with technology, training, and traffic to extend their message and attract more donations. I mean, what could be better than this in this new day and age for nonprofit organizations? It also provides further support for nonprofit organizations through their business Who Care program. It's a businesses who care program and innovative cause marketing programs and all kinds of things to help nonprofit organizations. So to find out more about this, why don't we speak to John himself? This is John Beale with us on Life Changes today. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Philippe. Oh, thanks. I'm real pleased to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, let's start it at the beginning of this. I know you co-founded this with your friend Kent McBride and your daughter, actress Jessica Biel. Now, who actually thought of the idea?
Well, the basic core of the idea was Kent McBride, the brilliant man with a huge heart that thought about the Internet in ways that people hadn't thought about quite some time ago. He was one of the early pioneers in the Internet in terms of its use and application, not creating big sites, but actually its, you know, functional application. So he had this idea that was a core of an idea that was that sparked our attention after an experience that my daughter Jessica and I had with a fan.
And what was that?
Well, the family of this fan got in touch with, actually with my wife, Kim, Jesse's mom, Kim. And the message to Kim was, our daughter, Timmy, this is, our son, Timmy, his name was Timmy, has multiple sclerosis, got MS. He's been in a wheelchair for 15 years. He's about 21 or 22 years old. So he hasn't walked for about 15 years. The message that they wanted Kim to give to Jesse was, Timmy said if he had to make a decision of ever walking again or meeting Jessica Biel,
wow,
he'd rather meet Jessica Biel.
Wow.
So that was a real punch in the solar plexus for all of us. Jessie was a young woman, probably in her late teens, probably 18 or 19 years old, and heck, I'm an old fart now, and even that was hard for me to swallow, that kind of response. Ultimately, Jesse got in touch with this family and this young man, and they really only created a phone relationship, but Jesse talked to them and helped them and spent some time with them on the phone and supported them. By the way, this family was devastated by the ravages of that disease, the psychological, the financial, the...
Of course.
One can only imagine. And there, I know there are many people who have taken that journey. Maybe it's fortunate that some of us haven't. But wonderful people, So Jessie built a bit of a relationship with them, and then one day she said, Dad, I would like for you to help me do something on my professional website that would help this family, because it was the beginning of the year. She wanted to make a difference. She wanted to do something. And so I did. And it was the wrong place to do it because it wasn't set up well and right. We did it legally and appropriately so that when people gave some support, there was a legal way to do it, and went to a nonprofit. That nonprofit supported the family. So it was a good gesture. It wasn't terribly lucrative for this family monetarily, but psychically and psychologically, and a feeling of support was there, and it was important for them, and it certainly did as much for us as a family as it did for that particular family. Timmy lived only another year and a half or so.
Wow.
And that experience was a profound one for all of us. And actually, we had a conversation after it at one point, and she said, Dad, you know, I've been given some gifts and some access and some opportunities that maybe other people wouldn't. And I would like to do something that of value with those gifts. And it was about that time that Kent McBride talked to me about Make the Difference Network. And long story short, we said, we would like to work with you to try to put something together that would use the Internet to help organizations and individuals and businesses, nonprofits, individuals, and businesses, communicate better, share information, educate, inform, build relationships, and raise funds. Because at that time, you could see that the world was moving in that direction, and of course, it's moved further and further in that direction every single day and every single minute and every single second.
Wow. So Make the Difference Network was born, and you help, in a nutshell, nonprofit organizations. You provide tool technology and for communication, sharing information, raising funds, and building relationships between organizations and donors, right?
Yes. And there's some additional kind of advancements from using that technology that's out there. And one of the things that we're trying to get is more businesses and nonprofits to work together in mutually beneficial ways. A very strong business strategy. There's a very strong business reason for connecting to your community and making a difference and letting your customers and clients know that. We're trying to make it easy for those relationships to be mutually beneficial between those nonprofits and the businesses.
You know, John, of course, I came to know about this, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something. You had just recently started it. And, of course, I've met Kent as well and had discussions about this. And every time I hear it, it just reiterates in my mind what a brilliant idea this is, and what an idea whose time has come, and especially in this day and age when nonprofit organizations need so much more help, and the way things have been done up until now don't work anymore. So actually, let's talk about one of the ways things have been done, and something people probably don't know, and I didn't until you shared it with me. Fundraisers and those parties. Let's talk about those.
Well, fundraisers and events and parties, they're essential. You can't create a difference in the world and be totally divorced from touching and interacting and holding and sharing with people. But in the old days, we didn't have a lot of additional options to create relationships, communicate, to inform, spend time with each other. And sometimes, whether we like it or not, the world moves on in terms of opportunities and ways we do things and how cultures change and how technologies change and how people's behavior changes. And in the past, we didn't have too many more options other than having an annual event or a periodic events that were fundraisers. But interestingly enough, we're still using 17th century technology to raise funds in our nonprofits. We're still sending our kids out on the streets, selling pastries and you know, paper, wrapping paper, and, you know,
using
very inefficient means of communicating and sharing and getting people to support. Now, I believe that events are really critical because of the things I said earlier about human interaction. But if you look at the the statistics of these events, you'll find that they're generally quite inefficient. Now, I live in L.A., and some of these events can raise millions of dollars. But the vast majority of us live in Broken Pelvis, Montana.
Hmm.
You know, and you don't have big museums there, and you don't have tremendous fortunes that reside in, you know, hundreds or thousands of families that exist in these big metropolitan communities. The vast majority of us live in small towns, and we take care of ourselves in those towns using the resources that we have available to us.
Right, and actually, John, what you're saying is that these events either don't make enough money to sustain the organization, or sometimes lose money. And yes, we do live in LA, but something that I just found out recently, and it was because I was talking about you and this organization, that I have a friend who puts on huge events, and he's one of the most successful people that does exactly what you're talking about. And he talked about an event he had at a very well-known, I mean, this is Hollywood, and, you know, a very well-known place where these things are had, where so many celebrities, top A-list celebrities, come out. And he says when he first started doing this event a few years back, they brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars from this event, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. He said he just did this event this year, and the event lost over $150,000. Same event, same type of publicity and celebrities and all of that. The times have changed.
Well, the economy always has an impact, and whether it's either good or bad, we're going to see that impact across the board, not only for-profit organizations, but non-profit organizations.
If we're so all that said, this is what you're doing is even more important now.
It's really critical right now for everyone, any big business, any profitable large business, or even small business, is going to look at their circumstance and situation and say, what are the tools and techniques and opportunities that exist for me to leverage our ability to accomplish, in the case of a nonprofit, would be their mission? Now, if we look around ourselves and don't realize that one of the biggest shifts since the Industrial Revolution is this whole idea of the Internet and the web and social media,
mm-hmm.
then we're leaving behind some of the really critical and major tools that are now available to people. So I believe that you need to have these events. That $100,000 bringing people together for that organization might have been critical so that it would keep its flow of communicating and interacting with its constituents and its supporters.
Right.
But if that's all they did and they didn't respond, both in the future, even when things get a little bit better, or even in the future, if they get a little bit worse and we have to respond to it, they will, and try to find additional ways of communicating, interacting, sharing ideas, developing relationships, they'll soon be out of money. Even the big guys will soon have that as a problem.
Right.
And there are just too many things, too many tools, too many options that are alternatives for us that we should include in our strategy. And if this is new for you, you start slowly, and you'll learn and grow, and pretty soon you'll have many more tools in your repertoire to be able to support the important work that you're doing.
And social networking is one of the biggest part of what you do, and you use it in a really clever way. You explain to us more. One of the pieces I liked, having been on the site and all that, was that people actually get to see where their money goes, and they can actually establish friendships with the people who have whose lives have been changed because of them. And we're not talking because somebody sent $100,000. It could be because somebody sent 10 or 20 or 100, right?
Well, absolutely. I've said hundreds of times, if I've said it once, that donors want to know three things. They want to know where their money's going. They want to see the results of their giving. And they want to be told thank you. Now, just recently, my son, who worked at Make the Difference Network, is not working with us right now. He's gone on to bigger and better things. Young guy that was the most amazing privilege to work with, that probably my most fondest professional experience was working with Justin. But Justin recently received a snail mail letter from a nonprofit thanking him for a donation. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
6 months late.
Oh.
Came 6 months after the donation. And he just looked at it and laughed and threw it on his desk. There wasn't anything immediate there. I mean, it's like kicking the dog because you've come into the house and the dog's had an accident somewhere in the house in the morning. And you come in the afternoon, you kick the dog, and the dog says, well, whenever he walks through the door, he just kicks me.
Right.
There's no relationship to the accident and the behavior. So it's no different with people. Number one, you got to say thank you, and you got to do it right away. Okay? And people, they love their organizations that they support. But what they really want to know is, where's my money going? And there's all sorts of reasons why they want to know it. We could probably list them, but you can pretty much figure out the brunt of those reasons. But how much more powerful is it to say, look, give money to the shelter for something very specific. So $100 will be able to put an additional bureau in the new room of the shelter that we're creating in the new wing. But if you'd like to give us $200, we can put a bed in there. Now, how powerful is that compared to, hey, give us money from the shelter. You know we do good stuff.
Well, right, and you were taking it several steps forward. One in particular is that after you get the $100, they get the $100 and they buy the bureau, they could take a picture of it and say thank you and post it on the social network.
Well, think of what you've just said. There are so many immediate and powerful ways of showing that person the results of their giving. Now, when we started Make the Difference Network, the best way to do that would have been to take a picture and actually post it on Make the Difference Network directly on the Wish. Now, when you put it, a Wish page on Make the Difference Network is multimedia. You can put videos and testimonials and dedications and pictures and comments, all sorts of really cool stuff. So if somebody had gone on Make the Difference Network and looked at a Wish and said, hey, here's $100. I can put a bureau in there. I could help a family of a mom and two kids be safe and comfortable and feel like they got their own place. That's going to make me feel good. Now, I give that money, and that director takes a picture of that, takes a video of that. And how do they do that? Today's world, you can do it on whatever you're packing. You're packing an iPod, you shoot it. You're packing a BlackBerry, you take a picture of it. You take the video. That can be posted immediately. Now, in a shelter situation, it may not be appropriate to show faces or individuals. But what if it was? What if you could show a villager in a community in India that just got water because you helped them put in a pump?
Oh, wow. We're talking let the floodgates roll and the tears fall. Yeah.
All right, so now that happens in your family, in your at your dinner table, while you're passing that around and showing the kids and your wife and everybody. How quickly can you send that to other people so that they can feel that impact and be moved to participate as well?
Yeah.
Those are clicks of buttons. Those are keystrokes.
Wow.
And with video and that capability, and by the way, you can take those same images, those same videos, those same messages, that same emotion, that same power. And with a push of a button, you can send that to, take your pick. You'd like to send it to Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Dig, Delicious. You can send it to hundreds of places on Make the Difference Network, as well as all sorts of other internet properties. You just click a button, and you have all those options to send it. So people, did you know that they've done a lot of research? And they've actually proven that if you do something good for me that will touch somebody's heart because of the goodwill behavior, the person who's watching it, their serotonin levels raise as well.
Oh, wow.
And so doesn't it make, how many times have we read something that moved us? And that
right.
It maybe even moved us to action or behavior. But because of the immediacy of this technology, the ability to distribute it, to get it into people's hands in a way that's powerful and emotional and visual, you can send that and you can keep that chain of emotion and information. Even if you're informing people that it's a problem and there's ways that you can do something with it, you're still doing more good than if it stayed between me as a donor and the organization and it was...
And truly, if your intent is to do good for this organization, and of course it is, and one sends money for that reason, well, other people seeing that act and seeing the result of it, you would be interested in having other people be interested in the same thing and to help out. And what a way to do it is this. I've experienced this firsthand. Obviously, I know we're raising serotonin level for a lot of listeners right here because we're not selling anything here except helping organizations that so desperately need our help and people that are part of those organizations or people that will benefit from it. And so I like what you do. Our show, we've known you now for all this time, and we know what you're doing, and you've stuck to it, and I know you've invested a lot of time and energy and money of your own, and here it is, ripe and ready for this generation to take and do something beautiful with it. Now, give us those statistics, if you will, that we talked about earlier when, you know, some organizations might say, well, we're using radio or we're using television, and you're saying Facebook, social media, and then you gave me some statistics. Why don't you give us those to the listeners?
Well, we could play around with some of those, but let me just preface this by saying I think radio is a very powerful way of getting across things. I'm not sure TV is a good way any longer. It's way too expensive compared to the ability. By the way, I can TiVo through anything on television.
Right.
So I just want us to remember there is a good combination of technologies, old and new, that we need to think about in terms of our mix, how to get out and touch and interact, get our messages out and do the work that we're trying to do, fulfill our mission. So we don't poo-poo what's done in the past. We just add it to the combination of new ideas and new technologies and new tools and techniques that are available. But if
Good
you
point.
Don't think that there's been a huge shift, then let me play around with a couple of statistics for you. For example, I told you that by 2010, Gen Y will outnumber the baby boomers. So I'm an old baby boomer, right? And, you know, people in the... who were born in the, you know, mid to late 70s and 80s and 90s, that's the generation that is taking over for all of us old ones. You guys are going to take over for all of us, okay? And 96% of those people, I still call them kids because I'm still 20 and 30 years older than them, 96% of them have joined a social network.
Wow.
Okay? And I love this one. Social media has overtaken porn as the number one activity on the internet.
Really?
Yeah. Hate to disappoint.
Wow. And porn was always head and shoulders above everything else. That's interesting.
Above everything. Not that there isn't a problem with that still. But what it tells you is this technology is being able to be jujitsued into the positive force for good and for making a difference. If somebody puts something out that somebody distorts, if it still has good value, ultimately the heart of the culture and its people will find its value, and we're starting to find its value more and more.
You know, what were those numbers? How many people did radio touch after how many years, those numbers?
Let's put a benchmark out. If we were going to try to reach 50 million new users, It took radio 38 years to reach those 50 million users. And
wow.
In contrast to that, when the next technology, that you know, the next biggest communication technology was obviously television, it took television 13 years to reach 50 million users.
Mm.
And then, of course, Kent McBride and the Internet shows up. Or maybe mm-hmm. that's Al Gore and the Internet shows up.
Okay.
And it took the Internet 4 years to reach those 50 million users. So we
okay, so
are
it went from 38 years to 13 years, was it? And now 4 years.
Now 4 years. It took the iPod 3 years to reach 50 million users.
Oh, wow.
Now we are into some of the real heart of the world that we live in today, and Facebook reached 100 million users in only 9 months.
Wow. Amazing. And so what you're doing is you're laying this out on a silver platter for organizations. And actually, you know, you keep calling yourself that much older than this generation you're talking about. I think I kind of still fit in on the marginal side of that generation. And you're teaching me things every time I see you. When you came to our Life Changes live show a couple of months ago, the first one, you said, Filippo, can I take a picture of you and I? And we did. And that's all I know. And the next thing, when I was on my Facebook, you had plastered that everywhere. It was on Facebook. It was on Twitter. It was on something else that I'd never even heard of. And you're the one, you know all this stuff. And it's like, people should listen.
Well, look, you've got it. I believe in one thing. You only become old when you no longer learn.
Okay.
Oh, I'm chronologically older than you and a bunch of people, but I'm not old in terms of what I can contribute and learn. And by the way, the true story of what you just described, the picture that we took, I yes. turned from you while you were speaking to other people, so it was respectful. And what I put in the subject line on an email that had that as an attachment, and this is all right done with my BlackBerry because that's what I'm packing.
Okay.
The subject line, I put Filippo's Life Changes, and in the body of the email, I said, here I am with Filippo. We just had a crop circles discussion. I tried to remember. I can't remember everybody's
right,
name.
Right, that's exactly
I put
it.
In there. So I put all that in. I clicked a button, and it went to all those places before you even walked out of the building.
Wow.
So here's a recommendation for you. When you get your Facebook going and you've got your events going on, you designate people who have their, that is actually a program called Moby Picture. I like Moby Picture. I think they're good people. They're a Scandinavian company, but they have great technology. Have your people going around taking videos with their iPods and their iPhones and BlackBerries. And pictures, and sending those to your Facebook and to their Facebook so people can see almost immediately what is going on.
Yeah. See, there's the consultant in you and the caring person that you are giving me this advice, and I appreciate that. And this is exactly the kind of advice that nonprofit organizations especially need today. And I've got to say, John, I've gone to the website many times, as you know, and I'm impressed by it every time I see it. But I have to say, it was unfortunate. I felt disappointed that though I see a lot of organizations, I don't see a lot of activity. And you and I have touched upon this. What is really going on there? Why are they not just buying into this? Are you that much ahead of your time?
Well, I think there's two things. Some of it is, several things. Some of it is we're kind of on the bleeding edge of these ideas. There are organizations out there doing similar types of things. Nobody has the kind of tools we have that connect businesses and nonprofits. Think about a business that, like a realty business, and the realtors are in town. They're competing against everybody else. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to realtors and tapped them on the shoulder and said, tell me why I should work with you. And they give me their whole layout, and they give me their whole rap. And then I tap somebody else on the shoulder and tell me why I should work with you. Their rap is essentially the same because there's no real differentiation.
Right.
So what if my team of realtors went out into the community and associated with and sponsored and connected with all the major nonprofits that are really making a difference in that area and in that region. And when anything ever happened, they had our faith there, probably sponsored. I'm making probably sponsored by my, you know, John Beals Realty Company. These are amazing cause marketing and marketing tools and powerful supports for communities. It is cutting edge stuff, and mostly it's education. People need to be educated. People need to see examples, and people need to not be scared. And to be truthful with you, I don't really care if they come to Make the Difference Network to do this stuff. I wish they would, because I think we have a lot to offer. But I really care that they tap into these tools and this leverage, these opportunities, because if they don't, I truly worry for their future.
You know, you're saying so many profound things here, and I'm still on this realty thing and the brilliance of it, and for marketing, like you say, especially in this day and age, if they were to partner with people that are building homes in Tijuana or Mexico, anywhere in Mexico or across the world somewhere, and being able to show people on their website or anybody that asks, you know, how are you different from anybody else, they could say every house we sell, we give money to help build a house for somebody else. And here you can see examples. And as part of that, you see people that are crying or happy because they've got a house to live in. Even if it's a little square box in Tijuana, at least they're not outside in the cold. I mean, that already just sets somebody apart so much.
If you don't ever even use the technology and you can kind of jerry-rig this all yourself, if I was in that type of business, I would do that. I would say, and here's what I would do. I'd sit, let's say you use Make the Difference Network. I would send the wish back to the client that I sold the house. And I said, you know, I told you that part of my fee was going to go to this. And when they see the wish and they see the results and they see the testimonials and they see the videos and they see the pictures, they'll also see where I said, and I have done this in honor of the Smith family.
Wow.
With the Smith family and in honor of them.
So that is absolutely brilliant.
Well, let me take you to another place, okay? We were talking about those events.
Right. Actually, before you do that, though, I'm still, it's just so brilliant, and please don't forget your thought, because then the Smiths take that video or that email from those person that from that realtor and send it to all their friends, and now the Smiths are advertising for that realtor.
Sorry, I should have taken that story to its final conclusion, as you have said. That is the whole purpose of this.
As people can give to that organization on their own, even without buying a house.
They may not even have known about it.
Right.
So at the very least, you're educating and informing and helping, at least in that way.
Yeah. That's amazing. Now, so please go back to what you were trying to say.
Well, so I've created a concept that I call continuity campaigns. We have these events. The events fall off the edge of the earth once they're over. It's like putting up a finish line on a 10K race for the cancer society in your town. As soon as the race is over, your sponsor banner comes down and people go, "Who was that sponsor on that banner?" Can't remember that stuff.
Mm.
So most of the time, we have all these activities that generate all this emotion, all this power and activity, and then the next day they're forgotten. Now the continuity campaign is what I call you plan. As you are planning the strategy for the event, from the day after the event for 9 months down the future till you start to re-up that event for its next annual go-around, you have a series of communications and interactions and relationship buildings and thank yous and results. Okay, let me give you one little piece of this. Remember, we were talking about those wishes that you can actually show the results in those, right on those wishes.
Right.
Before you do an event, you select four or five wishes that are very specific that you know you'll be able to fulfill because you know you're going to get those kind of resources that'll come in. And by the way, you can show those. You can have computers available at the event. So people can go up and you can and have signs on your chest that says, ask me about our wishes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and they say, tell me about your wishes. Well, look, we have these wonderful events. It's so great to see you, and let me give you a big hug. But look down here, 365 days of the year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go and find out what's going on, and you can help us. And here's where you can do that. And then you show them these wishes. So, but anyhow, you select four or five wishes, okay? Now, there's a whole bunch of things I'd put in this continuity plan, but here's one of the real kickers. 3 months after the event, you send that wish of that fulfilled wish with the videos and the testimonials and the pictures and the information on it. And by the way, right on that wish, you can see other wishes, right? You send that back to everybody who attended and everybody who was invited.
Wow.
And how hard is that to do? Because you've got all that information. It's in your eye contact. You put together the document. You put a link on it, and you say, click here to see the results, some of the results of that wonderful event that you participated. Oh, if you forgot to come, just wanted you to show how important it is. Right? And you put videos of the event and all that kind of stuff, put links to all that kind of stuff. Everybody gets that. When was the last time, 3 months after the event, you were reminded that you were there, helped generate resources and money, and they showed you what happened? I'll bet you it never happened. Now, how many wishes do we have? This is the test, Filippo. Got four wishes, we said, right?
On Make the Difference Network, you mean?
No. I'm talking about we got four wishes for this event. So you sent one wish out on the third month, right? What do you do on the fourth month?
The next one.
You send another wish. And what are we doing? Showing them the results of that wish.
And they're interested.
They're doggone right they're interested. These people care. They have busy lives. It's your job to get information to people, okay? In the past, we used to search for news and information. Now the news finds us. Okay. In the near future, we're not going to be searching for products and services and information. Okay, they will find it in social media. The social media isn't a fad. It's a fundamental shift in the way we communicate.
Well, this is you have certainly shifted the way organizations that are not-for-profit have an opportunity to bring in money to communicate with their donors and share information and build relationships, which is the wave of the future. And you started off this by saying that it was through the goodness of your daughter that she wanted to make the difference that gave birth to an idea that Kent McBride had. And, the goodness of your family, I know your wife as well, and obviously it runs in the family, and Justin, your son as well. I mean, more power to you all. And we've been talking about Make the Difference Network, and we haven't given the website out yet. It's www.mtdn, as in Make the Difference Network.com, where you have all these tools easily and readily available for donors and for organizations. So whether they're donors or organizations or businesses, Make the Difference Network, mtdn.com, is where they want to go. John, before we go, any parting words for us?
Well, my parting word is thank you for all of your and your team's continued efforts to open up ideas for people and to stay positive. I listened to your little diatribe at the early part of the show, and to stay positive and to stay focused. And the more that you get information out to people about the great things that are going on and the changes that are happening in people's lives, the good changes that are happening in people's lives, the faster we're going to get to the world that we want. So just want to say thank you for all your efforts.
John, thank you so much, and thank you for being with us tonight. We're talking to John Beal, CEO and co-founder of Make the Difference Network at mtdn.com. John, you have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Philip. It was a joy to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Always. Love with you, too. Ciao. Wow. Well, speaking of making the difference, we have Dorothy Lee next, who makes the difference every week with her State of the Universe address. Let's hear what she has to say today.
Hi. As I've stated before, there's so much good out there and so many good people doing their very best to make this world a better place. And I thank you, John, for making a big difference. I thank you and your family. So tonight I'm going to share with you some more of that good. The essay for tonight is an amazing article that is in complete alignment with what we, Life Changes, are all about. In Blueprint for Change by Pete from realtalkworld.com, Pete addresses the questions so many of us have right now, such as, how can we create peace within ourselves and the world? How can we fulfill our own unique potential? How can we create a world that is more loving, truthful, and joyful? In other words, how can we have fun without killing each other? The 21st century serves as a natural time frame for building a dream, a vehicle for life in the new millennium that will help transport mankind through the next 1,000 years in peace and safety. Real Talk World and Life Changes are about seeing where we are, deciding where we want to be, and getting from here to there. It is not about right and wrong, good and bad, guilt and punishment. It is not about comparing ourselves to one another. It is not about comparing ourselves and one another to outside standards of being and performance. It is not about fear, separation, competition, and survival of the fittest. It is not about seeing ourselves as victims and armoring ourselves against a hostile world. It is not about sleepwalking through life or taking it for granted by mindlessly following the rules. It is not about living by value judgment and being controlled from the outside in. It is about paying attention to our own unique experience and developing internal values over a lifetime of living and learning. It is about playfulness, experimentation, and paying attention to what works for us and what works against us, what we like versus what we don't like. It is about accepting our own unique being and authority. It is about actively seeking the qualities of life and being we value most, our ideals, and actualizing them to the best of our ability. It is about valuing our oneness as much as our individuality. It is about the value of you, me, and us. It is about surviving. It is about consciously changing ourselves for the world and the world for the better. It is about learning how to control the expression of our energy from the inside out. External values of right and wrong, good and bad, guilt and punishment are to a child as training wheels are to a bicycle. They help us function until we can learn how to ride on our own, or in this case, think on our own. In business and in life, whether we like what we do or get paid to do it, we must ask, is what I do good? Does it improve the quality of life and increase mankind's chances for survival, or does it undermine it? The following questions serve as a starting point for creating a blueprint for change. What's going to work best for all of us? This question takes you, me, and us, everyone and everything, into consideration. What's going to work best for all of us in personal terms? What's the best way to fulfill our own unique potential in support of ourselves and the world? What's going to work best for all of us in terms of business? What's the best way to maintain the health and well-being of ourselves and the world? What's going to work best for all of us in terms of education? What's the best way for us to learn and grow? What's going to work best for all of us in terms of the environment? What's the best way for us to relate to nature and the earth? what's going to work best for all of us in terms of peace? What's the best way to relate to each other as individuals and nations? The growing collapse of our economic and social system, increases in the number of people in the world and in jail, homelessness, joblessness, food shortages, disease, wars, global warming, unsustainable growth, and the loss of wealth, can be laid at the feet of putting individuality and self-interest, ego, ahead of oneness and the common good. A similar imbalance occurs when we put the common good ahead of self-interest. Why not create a system that values both equally? By giving equal value to both our oneness and individuality, we make it possible to cooperate, not compete with one another. And by asking questions that include all of us, we not only acknowledge our oneness and individuality, we acknowledge our individual and collective role and responsibility in co-creating our shared reality. Responsibility, personal accountability, and self-development is the price of freedom, peace, and long-term human survival. How we see ourselves in the world around us forms our intent, which in turn forms our reality. Thank you, Pete, for your wonderful website, realtalkworld.com, and for sharing with us your blueprint for change, and for asking the questions we must ask one another and we must answer in order to bring peace to our planet. And a big thank you to our audience for listening to tonight's State of the Universe address. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices, and please know that you are loved. You are lovable, and you are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy Lee, with the State of the Universe address. And is it me, or does an hour seem to go by extremely quickly here at Life Changes? It must mean that we're having fun, and I'm sure, I trust and hope that all of you are as well. That is our show for today. We'd like to thank once again our guest, John Beal, co-founder and CEO of Make the Difference Network. If you want to learn more about him, you can go to our website at www.lifechanges.ws. We look forward to being together again when we have another special guest next week. And remember, you can always keep the conversation going during the week by visiting us and writing us on our website at lifechanges.ws and connecting with us on Facebook and Twitter and all those good things that we talked about with John Beal earlier in the show. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles. Learn more about them by visiting our sponsor page on our website and clicking on their respective links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee, Mark Leger, and Mark Skelton, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.